There was a moment in the life of Jesus when the centurion's person, the centurion's family was ill, and it sent messengers out to Jesus to ask to come to the house. And Jesus spoke one word. He didn't have to go to the house. One word changes everything. Let's speak the one word this morning into Trish's life. One word. Father, what a privilege that we can speak one word, and that is your Son, Jesus Christ. It changes everything. And as we lift Trish up, one word, Jesus, we speak his name into a situation. We speak his name into the trauma in her spirit, in her soul, and into her body. We speak the name of Jesus into a situation and into the family. And we want to thank you for divine healing. We want to thank you for the Holy Spirit's resurrection power working within her right now. And today we want to thank you that one word that as your Son Jesus changes everything. All authority is yours, Jesus. And so we thank you for your incredible activity in her life even now. And today we praise you for this through your Son Jesus. Amen. Amen. Good. Leslie Ann also just asked for prayer. I think they've got their service on, I think it's on Thursday as well. Jeff Perkins passed away. So also for the Perkins family, Jeff and Margaret and that. So those folk. Good. Okay, so now let's have a look at John 17. God is working very much in our lives at this time. One of the things that we are learning, even as we were singing that first song, or both songs, but the reality of God's holiness. Remember, holiness, it's all about the oneness coming, it's relationship. So any form of holiness that we have learned that separates us and hides us from God, you know that's not the holiness that Jesus speaks about or what the Word of God speaks about. Remember, we were created in God's image. He's holy. And so the very purpose of Jesus coming and cleansing us and him being holy for us, so that in him we are holy, is that we can be one. And that's why in John 17, in the context of all what we're going to look at this morning, when Jesus is praying and saying, Father, set them apart. Let them be one as you and I are one. Holiness is oneness. You see? And so remember that, and so like when we are singing, for instance, Holy, 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 one of the great breakthroughs is that as we just realize we're in the holiness of God, which is about oneness with him, and you'll experience the intimacy, the interaction with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit within us, because we are receiving and we are agreeing with what by faith what holiness is all about, and you'll find just the intimacy. So the more we enjoy living in the reality of being children of light, living in light, the more we experience a divine intimacy, a oneness that is beyond our imagination. And so it's an incredible journey of growing in the truth of what holiness is all about. And so that's what we've been looking at over a period of time now, and this is what the Holy Spirit's working in our lives. So I'd like us to go to John 17 as we continue looking at some more insights there that we are being led to be praying about. I don't know about you, but I rejoice that you and I can live in the fruit of Jesus' prayer. The Father's answered his prayer, and you and I are living in the results of answered prayer. And that for me is awesome, because it's like a safe place to know that Jesus prayed for us here in John 17. He's prayed for the future believers, etc. And we are living in the answer. So we can be very grateful for him praying for you and I. I'm pleased he prayed for us, a great high priest, eh? Isn't that incredible? Like a foundation, knowing that Jesus prayed for us. He's sinless, a prayer of a righteous man, is powerful and effective. And you and I are living in the fruit of that prayer of Jesus. And that's, for me, is fantastic. So now as we look at John 17, I want to read from verse 6 onwards again. First of all, remember the first few verses where Jesus is speaking to his Heavenly Father, and he's gives a definition of what eternal life is, and he's also speaking much about how he came and how he has finished the work that the Father has given him. And that's also a very important truth that we are busy now getting understanding of. And he says here, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So that's the definition of what this life is all about, eternal life that Jesus has now given to the disciples and to you and I who believe. And then he says, whom I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. One of the things that I'm busy just learning a little bit more on praying for a nation and understanding, got a clearer understanding of why God first called us to start praying for the body of Christ. Because one of the things that it's very hard to pray for a nation if the body of Christ does not know God's destiny for a nation. You know, I was busy doing a training video yesterday, Greg, and one of our favorite verses is at Jeremiah 29. You know, God, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you. But one thing, it opened up as I was spending time in that word yesterday. What really struck me over there was that God is speaking to the kingdom of Judea. So he's speaking to like a nation. Nation, I've got plans. And you as citizens of this nation, your purpose is to help bring in the reality of my plans for a nation. If you want to find out why you're living in South Africa, God, what's your destiny for South Africa? Because our lives is connected to fulfilling your destiny. That's a bigger picture. You see, I have plans to prosper you. And that. So it's just a new way of looking at why we are living in a town. This town has a purpose, and it's to be part of God's destiny for a nation, for the nation. And that's why it's important to begin to know why God has called us to pray for the body of Christ in South Africa. So that the body knows, because we are a kingdom, and God rules through us, and he wants his kingdom to be made manifested here in South Africa, that kingdom divine purpose of his. And so the body of Christ needs to, once again, not be loving the world and the things of the world and entertaining with the lusts of the world, but the body of Christ needs to realize, listen, we're no longer conformed to this world. That's not our life anymore. We're in a kingdom. We've been transformed. And so now they start thinking differently. So our minds and our attitudes need to be so different from the normal citizens living in South Africa that are not born again. God has a destiny. And this is why this prayer that Jesus is praying, and why we are praying for the family of God, is crucial for us at this time. Many times we want, oh God, want you to do something about the elections. But does the body of Christ know the destiny of the nation? Because we might be voting against the destiny of God for the nation. We need revelation. You see, we need to first seek the kingdom of God. Then we know what he wants to do with the nation, and then we know how to vote. So, there's some deep stuff there if you want to go deeper. But it's just give it to you so you can start meditating on it and start thinking about why you're living in the town, why you're living in South Africa. And this is why, sorry guys, this is why we can't just run away from South Africa because we don't like it. Because my very life is connected to the destiny of a nation. Unless God says, go to another nation because your life is connected to the destiny of that nation, then we go. Ouch! For those that listen on the internet. It's a serious stuff. It's not about us. This is about God's love for the world. And you and I are part of because we're in a kingdom. He rules in our lives. He rules through us. And we are involved in touching people's lives, part of his kingdom. And that's why I've been busy with a course on really just finding your purpose in life and your destiny, etc. And I've done many videos and I've had to restart and do many more again and then go back at it. And that because I still did not really understand what God is busy sharing now. And if we're really wanting to find our destiny in life, if we're really wanting to find our purpose, the only way is to know it needs to be connected to the reality of his kingdom. That's the only way. And that's why I'm going so far off what I've got here. That is why in Romans 12, Paul writes over there that renewing of the mind. And so we are no longer we're no longer under the captivity of Satan who controls the world. We've been taken out of that. We're in the kingdom of light. And that's why Paul says, now renew your mind so that we are transformed. So now, as I shared before, remember conform means if you are unsaved, you live like the world. That's your playing field and your desires and everything. But when you're born again, that's not our true identity anymore. That's not where we stay. We are now in the kingdom. So being transformed means now start to, by the way we think, to start to be, to live, start to be changed, start to become who you really are now as children of God in the kingdom of light. See, that's what it is. Then you will know the perfect will of God. Very important. People want to know the will of God, but they don't want to be transformed. They want to stay conformed to the pattern of this world. No, it doesn't work that like that. See? If you want to walk in the kingdom, you want to stay in the kingdom of light, you want to live in the reality of the kingdom, there's the ways of the kingdom. That we need to really take seriously as we go. And so Jesus is praying to the Father, what I'm speaking about here. And so he says here in verse 6, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. Now remember, yeah, he's referring specifically, first of all, to the disciples. Jesus spent a night in prayer and his Father, who are the people that you have given me that I'm going to appoint as apostles? And it's those 12 that the Father has given to Jesus that Jesus has received. Okay? And that's why he says, I only lost one that was written in the scripture, which was Judas, because that was the one that was shared that would betray Jesus. So, here we see Jesus as revealing the Father to these apostles, to these 12 disciples. They were yours. You gave them to me and they obeyed your word. Remember what Jesus says again in John 8. Who are the true disciples? The true disciples are those who listen to my word, who obey my word. And as they obey my word, they take my word, they obey my word, then they will discover that the truth really sets free. So here we see Jesus is saying, this is eternal life, that they believe and they gave, that they may know you, Father. It's a relationship. It's no longer just knowledge. It's an intimate relationship. Because they are in me, I'm holy, they're in me. Now because they are holy, we can now have a relationship, we can have fellowship. Now we can start sharing life together. Eternal life. Okay? And so, now, he says, I gave them the words, and they received the words. They believed. These are true disciples. And these disciples discovered something so profound that the truth that Jesus spoke as setting them free. And that is why when Jesus asked, for instance, the disciples, who do the people say I am? And who did they say the Son of Man is? And they say Elijah, John the Baptist, other prophets, etc., etc. And then Jesus says, but who do you say? And Peter says, but they say that, but you are the Son of God. Because again, as I shared last time, they're taking the reality that Daniel spoke in the vision about the Son of Man bringing in the kingdom, etc. And all of a sudden now they're saying, but Jesus, you are that Son of Man that Daniel prophesied. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are the one that's bringing in the kingdom that Daniel prophesied so many years ago. And Jesus and Peter says, you are the Son of God. And that's when Jesus says, blessed are you, because this is what the Father has revealed to you. It's not by man. Revelation by the Spirit of God. And so Jesus' ministry was revelational ministry. Jesus communicated to the disciples, and by the Holy Spirit, they got a revelation that Jesus, you are the Son of God. And God is your Heavenly Father. And they believed. And they started to experience the freedom and the joy of sharing life together with Jesus as the Son of God. And their lives changed totally as they continue getting revelation. So here Jesus is revealing, now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me and they accepted them. This is a true disciple. Accepting them enables us to be able to know that truth sets free. Remember that. They knew with certainty that I came from you. And they believed that you have sent me. They're born again now. This is the grace worked in their lives. The faith God had given to them, they received. And this is a certainty. This is the knowing. This is what eternal life is all about. There's no doubt. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, for they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Can you see that again? I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Holy Father, protect them so that they may be one as you and I are one. That's why holiness, we need to understand holiness is about oneness with the Father, sharing life together with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as a result, we share life with one another. Okay, holiness, very important to just get that established within us. So, go to bed tonight. Try this. Go to bed tonight, and as you lie there and you just think, Lord, I'm in your presence, the holy presence. I'm falling asleep in the purity of holiness. I'm falling asleep in light. I'm falling asleep in this most incredible place where it's totally holy, pure, there's no darkness. Have a good night's sleep. Okay. So if we carry on and we see, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture should be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, But I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. This is so deep. So that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I'll come back to that now. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am not of the world. That's our reality. And that is why when we accept this truth that we are not of this world, as Jesus is not of this world, and then we start to renew our mind to that, then we begin to know the will of God for our lives, the will of God for our nation, and so forth. And this is why we're praying for the body of Christ to really understand where we really are. We're not of this world. We have been commissioned into this world. We're not of this world as Jesus is not. So that we can start having the mind of Christ for the purpose that the Father has for South Africa. Then we know how to pray. See, one word in line with the authority of God, because we know His will, what changes everything. And the church must grow up into this, otherwise they're still so self-centered about their comfort and about the potholes and about all these things, and that, and they're missing out. They're so distracted, they're missing out on what God has for the nation. And we need to grow up and mature a bit and stop getting over ourselves and really getting, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. See, when we pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven." It's not just a saying. It's not just something nice. It's about the rule of God through the body of Christ to be made known in this nation. And so it's very deep as we go into that over the next couple of weeks. Now we carry on and we notice over here, let me go back to that, that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. In chapter 16, Jesus is now sharing with his disciples that he's now going to be going back to the Father, and so they've got grief in their hearts. But he says that your grief is going to turn to joy. And he says over there, a woman giving birth in 21, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because the time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me for anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Powerful. Do you know the word joy comes from the very root word grace? So all of a sudden we are realizing something profound here about being justified through the blood of Jesus, because we believe by faith. And because of faith, we have access into this grace in which we now stand. All because of Jesus. And because of the grace that comes through Jesus, truth and grace come through Jesus Christ. Let's go back. In John chapter 1, verse 14 to 16, John Wright said that the law came through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus. Mount Sinai, this is important, Mount Sinai, God gave Israel their destiny. And the condition was through the law, through Moses. So for Israel to fulfill God's destiny, they had to keep the law. But now in the kingdom of God, in Revelation chapter 5, we see there through the blood of Jesus, He has redeemed us from all nations, tribes, languages, etc. And He has made us into a kingdom. So we see from the throne of God, He gives us our destiny as a body of Christ. And the condition of how we fulfill the kingdom of God is the truth and the grace that comes through Jesus. That's big. Because now we're starting to see something profound here, that there's joy, that whatever we ask in the name of Jesus, we will receive, so that our joy is complete because it's rooted in what Christ has done. It's about the reality of grace. And really you'll find there that joy is the recognition of the grace of God. And you find joy just flooding because you just, whoa, this is what you've done, Father, through your Son Jesus. Joy recognizes, when we recognize the grace of God, when we recognize what He is doing over here and saying that in my name you're able to come to my Father and ask Him, and He's going to now because of what I've done for you, there comes a joy, because there's such a hope for us, there's such a future for us, there's such a partnership of sharing life together with the Father and bringing about what He wants to do here on earth as it is in heaven. So if we don't understand grace, it's very hard to have joy. And that's why many believers are grumpy. Because they're not living in the reality of grace. They've stepped out of the benefits of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 5. And they're trying to do this stuff, make themselves perfect in their own ability. They're failing, they're guilty, condemned, no use anymore. Instead of standing on what Christ has done, joy just flows because this is what you're doing. And you and I, that's why joy, when we recognize that we are living in the fruit of the prayer of Jesus, there's joy. Because of what He has done. And we can experience the working of the Holy Spirit within us. So the kingdom of God is first of all, as I've shared many times, it's first of all, it's His rule in our lives. Yes, Lord. It's His life in us. Eternal life is kingdom. It's His very life. It's the power of His presence within us. It's the power of His life. It's His authority. It's His joy. It's everything about the fullness of Jesus within us. And we are now yielded to Him. And it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in us. So this is the reality of allowing His kingdom to become so real within our lives, and the freedom and the joy that comes as we are experiencing that. That's why the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but about righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Oh, telling you guys, we are privileged people, being filled with the Holy Spirit, having His life in us, sharing life together. So we're sharing life with our Father. We're sharing life with His righteousness, with His peace, His joy, etc. And we are able to experience that and let that manifest through our lives. So we carry on. And so here we see that until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. So Jesus is speaking and He says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am not of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Aren't you glad that we are living in the fruit of Jesus' prayer? And we have not been taken out of this world? Oh! All those that want to stone me now because they're waiting for God to rapture them, just duck a bit, okay? Be involved with the kingdom. And people need to be saved. And not involved in wanting to escape from being involved in God's destiny for a nation. So we see up here something profound. He prays that don't take them out of this world, but protect them from the evil one. Aren't you glad that we are in the fruit of Jesus' prayer are being protected from the evil one. We either believe this or we don't. If we believe it, we experience it. If we believe it, truth sets free. We find that this is true. We find the freedom. We find what this is all about, becoming our reality. And then he says something profound here. And this is where I want to just stop for a moment. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them. Set them apart. That's what holiness is all about. Remember, the two aspects of holiness is moral purity and being set apart for God. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into this world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And my prayer is not for them alone. I'm praying for all those who will believe in me through the message, that all of them may be one, holiness. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. And may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So Jesus is praying here to the Father, and he's saying, Father, they're not of this world. Therefore, with your truth, enable them to understand that they're not of this world, but they are in the kingdom. At the moment, they're living by the truth of this world. At the moment, their minds are conformed to the truth of this world. But because they believe in me, they're not of this world. They need you to, by the Holy Spirit, to give them a truth so that they can receive truth and be transformed into the reality of now being a child of God. And so he's praying to the Father for the reality of being set apart. And this is why it's so crucial that you and I are praying for ourselves. We're praying for the body of Christ. We're praying for the family of God in South Africa. So that's the body of Christ. We all, by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who takes from Jesus and makes it known to us, because Jesus knows the reality of what it is to be a son of God. And so he comes, the Spirit shares with us the things on the mind of Jesus, so that you and I, as children of God, now you understand why holiness and repentance are, they need to come together. Because when the Spirit shares us the truth, God is sanctifying us. Jesus' prayer is being answered as the Holy Spirit reveals truth to you and I, so that we can renew our mind, because we desire to be set apart, because that's our true identity. Now, as the Spirit leads us and gives us insight to the truth, now we turn away from how we've been living, and now we start to walk in the new way of truth. Then we know, then we are being set free from being conformed to the pattern of this world. Our minds are being set free. Our fears are being set free. Our emotions are being set free. Everything about being so grown up and molded by our culture, our traditions, and all the things that keep us ground bound, by the truth we are being set free. As the Holy Spirit shares with us, that's the Father sanctifying us. That's the Father setting us apart. That's the Father answering the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as He is not of this world, so are we not of this world. This is what is happening. And this is why, when that song, One Word, as you and I are moving into quite speedily, I see, into the truth of holiness, into the truth of being set apart and renewing our mind and therefore being transformed who we really are as children of God. Your authority, our authority, you start to see the prayers being answered. You're starting to experience the joy because you're seeing the grace of God involved in all of this despite us. You're seeing something profound because in Christ we receive an incredible gift of righteousness and He has made us holy and we are becoming holy. Wow, we are, see, we don't really understand who we are yet. And so this prayer that Jesus is praying is helping us to understand, and I thank God for answering the prayer of His Son, helping us to understand who we really are as the body of Christ. So sanctify them, set them apart, powerful, by the truth. And your word is truth. And that is why it's so important that you and I begin to ask, what word are we listening to that defines the truth to us? Because sometimes it could be psychiatrists, psychologists, philosophers, it can be educationalists, it can be professors, it can be whoever, it can be whoever speaking into our lives. And we could be taking that as the truth and neglecting what the Word of God is. His Word is the truth. What does God say concerning our lives? That's the only way that we are set apart, by taking hold of His truth and not the truth of the world. Some of the truth of the world may be the truth, but we need to check to see whether it is really God. This is what you are saying. If you want freedom, if we want freedom, truth sets free. If you really want to walk in a freedom, the only way is by our Father setting us apart with His truth. His word is truth. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth? Hey? Aren't you glad that we can share life together with the Spirit of truth, and He can share with us truth and help us to be free and help us to be able to live as children of God, set free from the pattern of this world and the norms that try to control and dictate how we must live and who we are as people, put us in a box. Let us come out the box and let us come into the kingdom, the reality of eternal life, of knowing and sharing life with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad that we are able to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit of truth? Share with Him, He shares with us. Aren't you glad that we are able to share life together with our Lord Jesus Christ? And really enjoy a fellowship and a sharing life. Aren't you glad that we're able to have, we can share life with our Heavenly Father and know the Father's love and know the Father's involvement and be fathered by our Heavenly Father, sharing life together? This is eternal life. And this is why may the Spirit give us such insight to what true holiness is all about, so that we can move and grow into the fullness of sharing life together with God, and not hiding away because of some religious form of understanding of holiness. We were created in His image so that we can share life together with God in the Garden of Eden. Sin came and removed that. Jesus came to restore that and says, I'm making you holy so once again you can have fellowship with us. Come back home. There's a good gospel message that you can share with people. The glory of God. And so, sanctify them. So when Jesus says, for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. In Romans chapter 6, Paul just puts it a bit differently. He explains a little bit more in detail of what Jesus is saying over here. So in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, This is what it's all about. what Jesus did for you and I. This is why joy flows from the recognition of grace. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. Isn't that powerful? How can we live it any longer? Well, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus, when we got born again, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God of the Father, we too may live a new life. Sanctification. Set apart. So Jesus died so that you and I in him is able to live a holy life. And that's what Jesus said, I'm giving my life. I set myself apart so that they too can be set apart. Can you see the joy in that? Hey, yo. Are you looking forward to die? But let's finish what God has called us to do while we're looking forward to dying. We've got such an incredible future ahead of us. Eh? Powerful. Jesus, in speaking in Matthew, in chapter 8, as we close, and I'd like us to just spend some time as we have communion, chapter 9, sorry. And Jesus, near verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sicknesses. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus went, he spent the night, and he asked, "Father, who are the workers? Who are the workers that you're going to bring to me that I can disciple so I can send them out into this harvest field?" Why don't we pray this morning, "Father, the harvest is full, plentiful. We want workers that have been set apart. We want workers that understand, workers that have been set apart, workers that are not conformed to the pattern of this world, but workers that are transformed into the likeness of God, knowing that we are in a kingdom that's got the mind of God in regards to life now. So we can be involved with you ruling through us, Lord, to bring about deliverance in people's lives. Bring them into the kingdom." So we want to pray for our nation this morning, for the body of Christ, for the Father to really send out the workers into this nation. It's got a, he knows what he's done in our lives, sir. And maybe you might be one of those that say, "Yes, Lord, I'm here. I'm one of your workers. Thank you." Because you've got a call on your life, so maybe it's time. Yeah. It's good. Father, thank you. As we sit around this morning and we come and we're busy eating together with you and your Son and Holy Spirit, celebrating grace that we see in the broken body of our Lord Jesus and the blood of Jesus. We celebrate the grace, and therefore our hearts are full of joy because of what you have done for us, Lord Jesus. We want to celebrate the joy of holiness today, the beauty of holiness, the incredible life of holiness. We want to thank you that we can experience a oneness because of what you have done for us, Lord, and bringing us into your holiness, into the kingdom of light. So we want to thank you as by your Holy Spirit you're working in us and we are experiencing a growth all the time, more and more, experiencing the purification of being set apart of holiness and all these incredible facets of this beautiful reality of holiness. We are finding intimacy is increasing with you and with one another here. We are finding a unity. We are finding a oneness that's beginning to develop. We are finding that we are one in heart and one in mind with you, Father, to be able to see what you have purposed for a nation become a reality. And we ask today, Father, that the body of Christ and the nation of South Africa, that as we experience the breakthrough in true holiness and be delivered from a religious holiness, we will find your family coming together as one. One heart, one mind, led by you, Jesus, the King of Kings, this mighty, glorious, holy army, set apart army of yours, beginning to march in your rhythm and your beat and your heartbeat to be able to see the Father being glorified here. Together with you, Lord Jesus, who are able to share life with you, to be able to come along and do the Father's will and to be able to see all that the Father has for us, for this nation, to see that being fulfilled in your incredible name. Because you've spoken to us that whatever we ask in your name, you're going to do that, that the Father is glorified. So what a joy, because we want our joy to be complete as we see the family working together, the family as one, the family walking in light, in the kingdom of light, having a renewed mind and seeing, Father, you busy being glorified here in this nation. And we thank you. You have spoken, and we believe. Doubters will be like the spies that say, no, it's impossible. Look what's happening. Look at the government. Look at that. Look at that. And they will be persuaded not to believe that your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your kingdom is the growing kingdom and your kingdom triumphs over every other kingdom. And we thank you as you impart within us a persuasion, a confidence, a faith of yours that comes from our Lord Jesus, that we will know that, Lord, with you, because of who you are, we are able to see what the Father has purposed for a nation, and we thank you. So we give ourselves, we give our lives, we give, Father, realizing that our destiny, our own individual purposes, whether it's our own families, our businesses, our towns, whatever it may be, we want to thank you that you're opening it up to realize that all of this is part of your destiny for the nation and nations, far more than what we've asked or imagined. And it's because of you, Jesus. So we want to celebrate this morning, Lord, what you have done in bringing this about. So we eat together, we drink together with a joy in our heart, because we see the fruit, we see the result, we see the future of what you have done on the cross, and we want to thank you for that. So Father, your kingdom come, your will be done here in South Africa, as it is in heaven, in and through your Son Jesus Christ, as his body, us being set apart, us as your family, yield to him and say, Lord, rule through us, in us and through us, for your glory we ask this, Father. Amen. Amen.